The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John. When it was evening of the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our triune God, amen. Friday was April Fool's Day, and from Netflix's promotion of a fake series called John Stamos, A Human Being, all the way to Google showing us that they can deliver an axe with a parachute, it always becomes difficult on the 1st of April to believe much of anything you hear. Perhaps Thomas thinks that the disciples are pulling some elaborate prank when they tell him that Jesus has visited them after his death on the cross. While the disciples were behind locked doors for fear that they might be next, Thomas was somewhere else when Jesus returns. Naturally, Thomas wants in on this firsthand experience of the resurrected Jesus. "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, I will not believe." We know Thomas as doubting precisely because of this moment. But the joke is on us, because Thomas is exactly the kind of disciple and apostle we are called to be. Understandably, he wants proof. He wants to reach out and touch Jesus, who he knows has died. He wants to have the same experience that all of the other disciples had had. Mary needed to hear her Rabboni say her name, Mary. The beloved disciple needed to see the linens lying in the empty tomb. And as a friend of mine puts it, Simon Peter really needed an exceptional brunch. And Thomas wants to see his friend and teacher again. And in that hunger, Jesus, the Christ, the living God, meets him. All of the disciples needed something in order to find solace after those past days, something with which they could begin again and become the apostles Jesus was preparing them to be. Daniel Berrigan, priest, poet, and activist, wrote that faith is rarely where your head is at, nor is it where your heart is at. Faith is where you are at. If that's true, Thomas's faith is right there with his Lord. He yearned to follow Jesus, even into peril, when weeks earlier, Jesus told the disciples he wanted to return to Judea, even though there was the threat of being stoned to death. And then when Jesus predicts his departure, Thomas inquires about where Jesus is going and how the rest of them can follow him, how they can stay near to Jesus. And when Thomas hears that his crucified Lord is back, he naturally wants to see him and to embrace him. Now maybe you have heard some people, friends, family, claim to have had some sort of transcendent experience. Some of them sound completely insane. Some of them sound completely explainable in a different way, by other means. And maybe you're one of those people who have had one of these experiences that you attribute to God. All of us, though, no matter what experience we've had, to some extent, desire some portion of that experience, or some assurance, or some certainty that not only is there a God, but that God cares for us and is interested in what we are up to. Jesus' disciples experienced something. It caused them to move from fear behind the locked doors of that upper room to action. They became people of Daniel Berrigan's brand of faith, putting themselves in situations that demonstrated their faith. They went out, they spread the word that everything else that demands our allegiance, government, institutions, even selfish values, have no power over any of us. They were free to live in love in light of the resurrection. The early church then, following this, found it prudent to tell this resurrection story in the context of a meal. It is a story most fully experienced through the senses. Because when a person hungers, you don't tell them about food, you give them a sandwich. It is in our hunger where God meets us. And it is in our hunger for the living God that we gather around this table and take part in the Eucharist. In receiving that which for us is the body and blood of Christ, the sign of his presence among us, we become the body of Christ. But in becoming that which we receive, we do not forsake our intellect. God bids that we use our intellect and our senses and our doubts and our values and our fears and our joys, that we use all of our humanity to be who we are fully, and to trust that wherever we end up, the living God meets us in our hunger, and the living God calls us to meet others in theirs. Now, if that's not an endorsement for this morning's brunch, I don't know what is. God meets us in our hunger, just as God met Mary and the beloved disciple and Simon Peter and Thomas and the rest of them. God meets us in our hunger. And so when Jesus re-enters the scene a week later, all of the disciples, including Thomas, are back in that room where they had shared that supper. They are together in their brokenness, in their grief, They are united in their love and their care for one another. They once again experience the living God among them. And Thomas cannot help but respond to Jesus' outstretched arm with an exclamation, "My Lord and my God." Allow yourself to be like Thomas. Doubtful, yes. Fearful, okay. But also dedicated. Inquisitive. And occasionally courageous. And always taking note of your hunger and allowing God to meet you in that hunger. Because remember that where your hunger is, God will meet you. And where the world hungers, there you will meet God. Amen.